Go to Proverbs 4. Today's message is giving out love while guarding your heart. We've been talking about love. We've been talking about God's eternal love. But it's important that we understand that we have an enemy. And I think what everyone has been sharing, whether it's the threshing floor or whether it's issues that are going on in our lives, not yet. How's that? And all the congestion that goes along with it. All of us are fighting an attack of the enemy because of the weather change and stuff. So I have a short message today. What? What? Mia, you see how they treat me? See how they treat me, girl? And I know it's love. Proverbs 4, verses 23 through 27 says, "And above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your feet from evil." This is the prescription for living a righteous life, a holy life. And I know all of us are doing this. Didn't get an amen, so. So it must not be love. But we have been looking at the Word of God. We have seen that God states to us that we are an extraordinary people, that He has placed us and called us into His love. And because we know that there's nothing that can separate us from His love, that builds confidence in us to know who we are in Him. And that in this love, as we grow in His love, and we grow in understanding of who He is, we naturally want to give this love away. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. We should know John 3:16. But John 3:17 is just equally as important in that He did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. And that is our job. That is the job of the church worldwide. That is the job of this church, how we go about sharing the good news and how we go about winning the lost and bringing them into the light and then teaching them and discipling them how to live this life in Jesus' name. We also understood that through God we have this prosperity, and it's His heart to prosper us. But this prosperity may not necessarily be of wealth. Because prosperity starts where? In us. In us. And so this is important for us to understand that we have an enemy who wants to steal that prosperity that God has already put in us from us. And with that, fill us with contemptible things, corruption, and evil thoughts, and behave as such. Now, all of us understand that we're not perfect, and I like the illustration that Dan was using about the threshing floor. And I think this week, for all of us, we can kind of feel like our lives are like being tossed up and down, and stuff is being blown around. I don't know about you, but it has been for me, especially today. And that's okay, because I know God's in control. It's okay for us to voice our displeasure. It's not okay for us to run from it, because we need to embrace it. We need to embrace Him, because He is the rock that will help us weather the storm. Amen. We also know that in this love, Jesus broke it down for us. He says, you know, there's two laws that you need to live by. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what Streams is built on. Streams is built upon those two laws that we can do those. It's going to take us forever to do that, but we can do it. Why? Because love has a commitment to each other. As it has a commitment to God, it has a commitment to you and to me. And so we're in this committed relationship, or better known as a covenational relationship, which means we can't separate this relationship. You're part of this family of God. You can walk out of the family if you so do choose. But as far as God's concerned, as long as you're part of the family, you have all the rights and benefits of that family. And so those rights and benefits are provided for us through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the reality of walking in love is very, very difficult. And I've only met a few people. My wife is one of them, in which she is able to love no matter what. And I find women, as I observe people, women tend to be the proponents of this love because that's the way they have made women. They are made in such a way that they nurture and care, and so it doesn't matter how much abuse that they take from their children. It doesn't matter how hurtful words are spoken by their spouses. It doesn't matter the things that they have to struggle with. All that matters is that they see and are committed to that love, so that their offspring or whoever it is that they're sharing this love with gets to a better place. And isn't that what God did for us? Guys, we're a little bit different. We share our love by our security and protection of our spouses and our children. We show our love because we're willing to lay our lives down no matter what. At least we should be. When a burglar comes through the door, he's got two choices. Take me out, and I'm not talking about a date. That would be nice, but that's not his loving me. Or come face the wrath of God, which I don't think they want to do that. I'm willing to lay my life down for my family. I'm willing to lay my life down for my family in God. That's how deep my commitment is to you. Because my commitment to God is that certain. I want to do what He's told me to do. I want to be the best at what He wants me to be. And my hope and desire is that you see Christ and can love me for the Christ in me, not what can be provided. I want to be that example for you guys so that you take the good, discard the bad, which is probably a lot, but take what's good and put it to your life and apply it and become better than me. That's the heart of a father. That's the heart of a mother. And so that's what this life is all about. Very few people are successful to love unconditionally. At best, what we find is that it's very hard to do, and at worst, very few can love unconditionally. But it's not an option, guys. It's who God is in us. We are to love unconditionally. And Satan does not want us to release that love. Can you imagine, just in our fellowship, if we just began to start loving people, irregardless, just loving them the way God loves them, begin to see them the way God sees them, what kind of impact that'll have on the community, in our families, in our own lives? Just a thought. Let's take this scripture apart a little bit and see what Solomon is talking about. The wellspring. Who knows what a wellspring is? Nobody? Nobody? It's the headwaters. It's where it originates. It's the very source of it. Very good. Oh, Padawan. Very good. You can go to next level of Jedi training. No, I just didn't say what level it was. Okay. But that's where it is. And within us, because God has given us His love, it is in us. It is the greatest treasure that anyone could ever possess. You and I have it. And we need to guard it. Not guard it from being tapped, guard it from being polluted and stopped. Okay? Satan does not want you to love people unconditionally. He doesn't even want you to love yourself unconditionally. He wants to kill you. He wants to rob from you. He wants to murder you because you are created in the image of our Father. You are the direct descendant and heir to a throne that is far above every principality and power. And He does not want you to begin to tap into that power and release it. Sad on him, because it's going to happen. The key to understanding and guarding our heart is to understand how the enemy uses his ploys against how we're supposed to constantly act or behave and give out of ourselves. I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, my brother, who most of you have met, is a very unique individual. And in his uniqueness, he's not really the type of person you can just wrap your arms around, you know? Not because he's big, but because he's not a real loving type of person. And so his relationship with me has been tenuous at times. And so anyhow, he calls and he has a problem with his furnace. Now, mind you, I have not done appliance work for 12 years. And I'm sitting there, I'm praying for his soul, and God has his way of beginning to open up my prayer life into a reality life, which I could tell you I don't like. Because I like the other end of praying for someone. I don't like having now to follow through with that. And most of us can understand that. God sent someone else to handle this. You're on deck, so you're going. So anyhow, I asked him what's going on, you know, and he says his furnace doesn't work. I had said to him, well, you know, I don't do this anymore. He goes, yeah, but. I said, well, you want me to come over? He goes, if it wouldn't be too much trouble. If I love, I'm not going to take that comment. And I didn't. But I could tell you that the enemy came in like a flood. He began to start bringing our past relationship up and how that was very bad. He began to accuse me of not being a good Christian because now these emotions are now starting to stir in my heart. He began to tell me that if my brother had done what I had suggested to him, there would be no need of this. And God saying, but I'm sending you forth. Because my church will prevail against the gates of hell. But that was all it needed for me. You know, I was going and went and grabbed my tools and fixed his heater. You know, he had had several people over, as the story goes, to come and fix his furnace. And they didn't fix his furnace. So I went over there and I said, what did I do? You know, he gives me the diagnostics of it. And I said, that's not the problem. This is the problem. Went and fixed the problem. And his heater has been working great ever since till Tuesday. Oh, you caught that. You caught that. Okay. And then immediately I get this phone call. I've been freezing all day long. And for those who are who are on radio. I'm bivocational, so I work a full-time job on top of my full-time job as pastor. So I come home and I have an answering machine, and my sister-in-law, who is lovable and unique at the same time. And we have such a wonderful relationship, is on the phone. And she says to me, mind you, she tells me the time is 8:20 in the morning. I'm hearing this machine at 10 minutes of 4. And she tells me the heater's out and it's not working. And if I would just call her and just tell her what is wrong with the heater. Now, I don't know about you, but God did not give me that ability that over the phone lines, I could close my eyes and I could feel what the problem is and then diagnose it and tell them. It doesn't work that way, at least not for me. It's not sarcasm. No, it's not sarcasm. Not at all. I kind of wish I did have that gift. Because you guys wouldn't have to come to my office. I would just close my eyes, click my heels, and go to Kansas. No, seriously, though. No. So anyhow, immediately the enemy comes in as a flood, and he's trying to close my heart off because I'm praying for them. They go to a fellowship. He does not go to a fellowship. He's out of fellowship, and I'm praying about what we can do to help him get to this point. And I want to love him. I want to love him unconditionally. I want to love his family unconditionally. I want to be able to reach him with the heart of God through this. So I said to him that I would be over. Now, mind you, when I get there, I ask, you know, has anyone come to see the heater? Hoping? No, we're waiting for you. Okay? So you've been waiting all day, and I proceeded to remind them that I work during the day. Well, I don't know what we were going to do was the response, so we called you. Okay. So I go down, and I'm working in the heater, and my knees, one of the reasons why I got out of that vocation is I cannot be on my knees for a long time. They're just so deteriorated and filled with arthritis that it's very difficult for me to be on my knees a lot. And when I knelt down, you could hear my knees snapping. And she goes, oh, you got bad knees? They said, yeah, from doing this for over 20 years, this is part of the rewards for being a faithful servant in that. And she goes, oh, okay. So I proceed to go through the stuff, diagnosis, and I said, I believe this is what the problem is. I don't have a means to check it, to verify. And she's, well, that's okay. My brother can fix it. I said, well, you know. So I said to her, it's this part or this part. Parts are not cheap. I don't want you just going out and spending. I would like to have a tester to test it to make sure that it works. Well, that's okay. Your brother can fix it. I said, okay, fine. So I go upstairs and I said, look, I'm not in this business anymore. I can't just run to the supply house and pick up a part for you, come over that night and put it in for you. I said, it's just I don't do that anymore. I said, got a phone book. I'll give you several names of contractors that I've dealt with personally through the years that have a good reputation with me. Now, mind you, I've already done this the first time I went and fixed their heater. So, and of course, Satan's reminding me that you're here in this pickle because they haven't done what you instructed them to do. And that's exactly what I said. But God's love compels me to be here. Satan wants us not to do the right thing. Satan, when we don't do the right thing, he then fills us with guilt and condemnation because we know better. And then we don't run to God and talk to Him about what we should have done because we feel guilty about not releasing this love. Satan wants to pollute our situation. He wants to fill my mind up with a bunch of junk that really doesn't have any bearing onto the situation at hand. Satan wants to remind me of my past. My job is to remind him of his future. Satan wants to tell me what kind of worm I am. I remind Satan that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's not something that's manifesting. That's what I am already. Satan then wants to bring activities into our lives to keep us from loving those most lovable people in our lives. Friends, neighbors, relatives. Those whom the world would cast away or castigate as inhuman or not of any kind of value. When God says, I died for the world, who's going to go for me? As he asked Isaiah, who's going to go for me? Satan wants to fill our lives up with things that will take our time, will steal our time. I was going to get over there, but I was too busy doing this. Satan wants to fill our lives up with a bunch of corruption. Satan wants to fill our lives up with things that don't matter about anything, that really robs us of the opportunity to love people where they are. To be an example to them. To be able to go and share the good news. But not only just share the good news, but to live the good news. And that is a difference. Because there's many a believer out there that does not live the good news. I struggle just like you do. Even in this illustration of my own personal life of what has been going on in this microcosm of the many plethora examples I could give you, just what happened this week and what's happened today, I wrestle just like you do. I'm not painting a picture that everything's hunky-dory with Pastor. It's not. I struggle in this warfare. The difference is I know how to fight. And you must learn to fight in love, for love, releasing love, not each other. My enemy is not here in this room. My enemy is invisible. He plays dirty. He fights dirty. And he wants to close off my wellspring. He does not want this life of Christ that is in me to come forth from me. Because once that life comes forth in love, there's power in love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love does not keep an account of wrongs. Love does not entertain bad behavior. Just look at 1 Corinthians 13. Just look at it and see if I'm lying, I'm dying. It's the truth. If I love, I love unconditionally. If I love you for who you are and the relationship that we can have. But someone has to be big enough to take that first step in bringing that reconciliation to that relationship. It doesn't matter if that person is right or wrong. What matters is the relationship. And if God is stirring your heart in a relationship issue, then you need to find out what it is that He wants you to do and release it to Him so that you can release the love of God in you. Satan does not want that. The problem with a lot of pastors today is they're having a lot more free time. When they have free time, they get themselves into trouble. They get themselves into trouble by being on a computer, looking at things and listening to things that are not edifying and good. Not this pastor. I'm trying to give you an illustration that if pastors wrestle with this, so do you. And next thing you know, your time's corrupted. Your mind becomes corrupted. You become polluted. You don't do the things that God wants you to do because something else has a tug on my heart. Something else is damming up my wellspring of life that God has purified for us by the blood of the Lamb. The devil wants to thwart you every time from sharing the love of God. It's easy to love people that's lovable. It is not easy to love people who are unlovable. It's easy to love me. I'm lovable. It's not easy to love Pastor when he's unlovable. And that's a great opportunity for us to love, confront. Remember I said love confronts. Unconditional love confronts. Because it does not condone bad behavior. It confronts it. And that's a great opportunity that when I'm confronted, when I'm unlovable, to repent, get it under the blood. Just like it is for you. Satan wants to remind us of how these folks have offended us, have hurt us, have abused us, have used us, have thrown us away. But what about us? What have we done to contribute to that? You see, it's always a two-edged sword, and we're always focused on, well, they did this, this, and this. What did we do? Not saying that we did anything, but we need to look at both sides of any kind of situation, any kind of scenario. People act bad and misbehave because they want attention. It may not be the right attention that they want, but they do this for the attention. We need to confront that. That bad behavior is not glorifying unto God. And one thing I've done with my kids, and I've always stated this, is don't put yourself in a position that dishonors God. Don't worry about dishonoring me, because God is higher than I am. But don't dishonor God. Don't bring a reproach against the name of Jesus Christ, because you see, you're going to answer to him for that one day. And Satan is going to love it, because he's going to accuse us for everything that we've done. And he's going to laugh at us. But if you settle in your heart that no matter what comes, no matter what goes on, not saying that we're going to be perfect, but to release love no matter what. Love forgives. Love does things that is extraordinary. And that's who you are. You're extraordinary. You have an extraordinary love. You have an extraordinary capacity. And that's what God wants to do. You see, because as Satan pollutes us, we become cold. We become indifferent. We become callous. Our heart does not love people. And that's why we have to understand, just like Jeremiah said in verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 9, he said, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God. That's why God gave us a new heart. A soft heart. A heart that is ever expanding. The more you give out, the more it expands. Remember I talked about exercising the heart? The more we exercise love, the more it's able to function properly. The more it's able to increase its strength. The more stamina that we have. We're able to endure the abuses more. We're able to look past that with the hope. Jesus endured everything we threw at him and counted it all joy. How great is his love for us that we should begin to expand our hearts to love like he loves. God knows how wicked your heart is. That's why he gave us a new one. Satan wants to remind you that you're operating from an old heart. He will arrange circumstances into your life. I call them fires. And what I believe to do is I'll help you put the fire out. When you have the same fire, I'm going to show you where the bucket is to put your own fires out. You see, until you learn how to put fires out, you will run. You will look for someone else to do it for you. You know what? Until you're willing to face your enemy, he will continue to push you down. He will continue to make you feel less than who you are. You can enlist your brothers and sisters. You can trust them. At least you should in the family of God. Because love loves unconditionally. I challenge you this week. I challenge you that even at this moment the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart about person or persons. I challenge you. Ask God what He would have you do. Then go and do that thing that He's asked you to do. And then come to Life Group this week and share what God has done. Because I want to know what God's doing. I'm sharing with you what He's done with me just this week. And I'm excited because I can see that a relationship is going to be healed. I can see the possibility of a relationship with my brother and his heavenly Father can be reconciled. I can see that. And I'm excited that I have the opportunity to be a part of that. You see, unconditional love sees the opportunities. It doesn't see the inconveniences. That's what Satan does with us. He wants us to focus on ourselves, not on the mission at hand. And that's where we get messed up. We forget we're on a mission. We're passing through this world trying to grab as many people as we can and bring them into the kingdom of God. Disciple them, get them ready and armed, and release them back out to continue to do the work that we're called to do until He comes back. And He's coming back. He's closer today than He was yesterday. He's going to be closer tomorrow than He was today. I don't know when He's coming, but I know this. He said He's coming. And so we need to do what He's told us to do. As we do that, God will enlarge our hearts. And I'm not saying that He's going to tell you to go do it today. If He does, be obedient and do it today. I'm not saying that He's telling you to forget about it. Be obedient to what God says. Don't pay attention to what the naysayers say. Don't pay attention to what the enemy's going to put into our ears and in our minds. Just do what God says. And the more obedience you have, the less He has to say to you. Because all you have to say, I'm doing Dad's will. I'm doing what He told me. I'm doing this. That's all you need to say to the enemy. He doesn't have a right to your life any longer. Jesus has that right. I challenge you. Go and love. Go and love people. And just see what happens. And I'm sure there's at least one person in your life that probably is aggravating the daylights out of you. That's a person who needs life. That's a person who needs some love. That's a person who needs Jesus. We're the people of God. This is what He's called us to do. Let's do it. Amen. Father, I just rejoice in Your word, God. I thank You, God, that Satan has been exposed, God, that You have exposed him, that he wants to corrupt and pollute this wellspring in our hearts. And if he can't corrupt it and pollute it, he wants to dam it up to keep it from flowing even a little bit, God. Lord, we rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. We command that every hurt, every abuse, every thought, everything that would hinder the well from being open, the wellspring from flowing, we command it to flee and be removed right now, God. We said a couple weeks that we were going to love people unconditionally, God. May this be the beginning of that, God, as we come to recognize Your hand in our lives, God. That, God, You hear everything that we say, God, and You hold us to that to help us grow and mature into Jesus Christ. So, Father, we give You permission to continue Your work. But, Father, help us to be obedient to Your word. Help us to appropriate that victory that Jesus was so willing to go to the cross for, to give to us, God. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.